listening to Nowhere in Mulberry.
Fresh oranges, please.
Yes, sir.
Looking for a friend? Maybe you can help me. I've got a problem. Why is a quarrel like a bargain?
Well, well. What master taught you to read?
The answer is it takes two to make it. Like beautiful music, like the dance. Shall we?
Your orange juice, sir. Batman special.
What's your name?
Molly.
You interest me strangely. I accept your invitation.
You shake a pretty mean cake, Batman.
It's nothing. It's...
This town needs an enema.
Game is powered by Namco. It's Ridge Racer. Ridge Racer! Remember that one? Alright, so let me go right ahead, get right into the game. Oh, this brings back memories. I don't know if it's just me, but here we go. Ridge Racer!
Action game, which is based on Japanese history. Being based on history, the stages of the game will also be based on famous battles which actually took place in ancient Japan. So here's this giant enemy crab. What I'll do is use Benkei here to flip over this crab on its back. See if he shows up. And you attack its weak point for massive damage. Giant crab, enemy crab, giant crab, giant enemy crab. Enemy crab, giant crab, based on Japanese history. Giant crab, enemy crab, giant crab, giant enemy crab, giant crab, enemy crab. Actually took place in ancient Japan. Massive crab, massive damage, massive crab. Being based on history, massive crab, massive damage, massive crab, based on Japanese history. Attack is weak point, massive damage. Attack its weak point for massive damage. Flip over this crab on its back. Attack its weak point for massive damage. Genjutsu is a giant enemy crab based on Japanese history. Being based on history, the stages of the game will also be based on giant enemy crab.
Ridge Racer!
Here we are, Barney Boy. Costumers. What kind of costume are you going to get?
Well, I'm going to get something that makes me look tall.
How about another head?
Another one? What do I need three of them for?
We'll be right back.
asshole, bitch.
Whoa! Hey, everyone! It's Friday! No more Mulberry! Welcome to the show! Film, television, pop culture!
Flashback Friday!
Episode 130. Welcome, everyone. Steven, the pop culture's lit to my left. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm having my flashback with my candies here.
Yeah.
I have some now-a-laters.
Did you save some for later?
I had, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in his crevices of his teeth.
We were talking about the green apple. That's the best. That's the one that where they keep the heroin. That's the addictive one. Green apple, you can't stop eating them.
The watermelon.
I like the green apple ones, but I prefer like the fruitier ones.
Like the, what is it, the cherry?
Cherry. I'm a sucker for cherry. Starburst, now and later,
you
Airheads.
That shit all stuck in your teeth. The fillings popped out. Oh! I always hear that.
You have to suck on now and later. You can't chew them.
When you're a kid, an adult always watching you, you're going to pull your fillings out. It's like, I don't have any fillings. What are you talking about?
I'm an adult. I don't have any fillings.
I'll chew if I want.
Well, that stuff's going to give you a cavity. Then you're going to get fillings. Then you're going to eat some more. Then it's going to pull out your fillings. It's like, good Lord, lady. I don't even know who this lady is I'm talking about. Just generic adult lady who tells you stuff. Now, you watch what you're doing.
Teacher lady.
Don't aim that toy gun at your sister's face. A spring can pop out of it. All right. Pink. Ah! Yeah, that's what my mom always told me. Don't point that at your sister's face. I'm going to shoot you in the head. Don't point that gun at your sister's head. I've said it before.
I was dangerous with that stuff. I threw a lawn dart at my sister and hit her right in the spine.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, luckily it was one of those doll tip ones. That mark was there for a long time.
The lawn jarts?
Yeah, that scared the shit out of me.
Who invented that dangerous toy?
I don't know. It was up in the air about 50 feet. I launched it, underhand throw up in the air, and it... I saw it, like, curve down, and I was like, Shay, no!
You're lucky you didn't get that,
slow-mo.
Like, it land in your own head.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, there's kids who just throw regular darts, and I vaguely remember a kid doing that. It might have been on America's Funniest Home Videos or in real life, I can't remember, where throwing darts up and seeing it land in a kid's head and freaking out, with the dart sticking out of his head. I can't remember what that was.
Blood squirting everywhere, gray matter.
Geyser, he's gonna blow! Hello, everyone. It's Friday. It's time for Mulberry. That's my new intro. What do you guys think?
Nice.
Cue the quirky music.
Quirky. You can't use the Q word.
No, I can't use quirky. How about, what's a good word? It's like quirky, but it's not. It's not used at all. Eccentric or...
Eccentric. Unique.
But it's got a sound. Quirky has a. It's kind of quirky sounding, so it's got to be a quirky sounding word that's like quirky.
I'm confused. I'm seriously.
Me too.
My mind is spinning right now. Quirky, but not quirky.
Now, first of all, I want to talk about this, Bill.
Giant enemy crab.
Oh no!
E3 was this week.
Yes, it was.
And a lot of cool games were unveiled. A lot of cool features to, like, the Xbox.
Ridge Racer!
No, not Ridge Racer.
Oh, poor Sony.
You showed me this video online of, was it 2006 E3?
Yeah, it was. It was the year they unveiled the PlayStation 3.
Right, the guy's like, the PS3, everyone, it'll retail for
$599. Yeah.
Everyone's like, $599. $600?
$600?
What the hell is this guy smoking? But hey, that $600, you also get a game.
Ridge Racer.
Yeah. It's like,
you can play it on your PSP.
Yeah, it was just like so uncomfortable. And then this douchebag comes out talking about this game where he's like,
giant enemy crab.
Genji 2 was the game, and it was terrible.
Genji. Well, first of all, he's talking about it's based on real Japanese battles. And then here you'll see here... Yeah. This is all these battles actually took place, and what do we have here, buddy?
Giant enemy crab.
And just like giant enemy crab, they had those.
The other attack its weak point for massive damage.
In feudal Japan, they had giant enemy
crabs.
Attack.
Yeah, E3 was
for massive damage.
I think easily Microsoft won E3. I mean, they had gameplay. You know, it wasn't just trailers.
Right.
Like, the PlayStation presentation was all trailers. It was all pre-rendered footage. They didn't show any gameplay of God of War 3. They didn't show They basically showed nothing. It was their big reveal was, hey, we now have a movie store too, and you can download and rent or buy for, you know, $15. You too can own a digital copy.
And you know what? You know what I just read is you can buy a movie on your PS3 to keep on your hard drive, but not HD movies. Those are rentals only.
No, it's all SD.
So, and also it's just as expensive as Vudu or anything else, but I don't know. You know, one thing that Xbox does smart about their movie rentals, you have to use Xbox points and you lose track of how much I have no idea how much like 400 Xbox points is in the real money.
Honestly, it's probably close to $5.
So what you do is you just buy stuff. Hey, it's only 400 points. All right. And you're not thinking about real money. You're just thinking about Xbox points. So they kind of fool you there.
I think it's $6.25 to buy 500 points.
Well, in 5 years' time, I believe everybody will be trading on Xbox points,
right?
Even in real life,
you're right. I think it's actually worth more than the
Microsoft points.
Yeah, Microsoft points.
But hey, that loaf of bread is 200 Microsoft points.
But you know what? If that was one bit of advice I'd give PS3, is like, don't call it money. Call it PS3 bucks or something.
Yeah, they call it credits.
Yeah,
or something. I can't remember. I have it, but I just.
But see,
never
they've already listed how much movies cost. They already made that mistake. They shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But the one cool thing about the 360 news is they're completely overhauling Xbox Live with all these cool features and.
Oh yeah.
The much rumored Netflix joint where you can actually, basically, it'll do exactly what the Roku does, right? Or the Roku?
Yeah, exactly. It's software-based Roku, and they'll be able to stream the available movies that they have in their instant.
So I can go on my Xbox Live and look at a menu of Netflix View Now stuff and just start watching it?
No, actually what you do is you go on your Netflix and you add movies that you can add to your instant queue.
Okay.
You have two queues. You have the one for the discs and one for the watch now.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
You add those to that, and then you can log into Xbox Live or your Roku player be able to choose from your list.
And they rumored that eventually HD will be part of that.
Yes, it will. It will.
I
would like
stuff.
Them to expand their library because it's pretty limited now. A lot of crappy movies, stuff like that.
They have a lot of TV on there, right?
Yeah, but I do love that they have a lot of old episodes of Doctor Who. That's what I watch.
Nice.
Microsoft really knocked it out of the park this year. I mean, they stole the exclusivity of Final Fantasy from Sony.
I know. How about that? When the Square guy came out and he says, I have four games to view to unveil to everyone, and he did three, and then they kind of moved on. I was like, I thought he said four, and he goes, oh, wait, everybody. You know, they did a really bad acting. We forgot to show you this. And it was the Final Fantasy trailer. It's like, oh, you fooled us or whatever. It's such – those guys are so stiff up there, aren't they?
They really are. And, I mean, stiff. The Nintendo presentation
Ridge
was embarrassing. Yeah. It was just really, really embarrassing, the Nintendo one. They had this Wii music game, and they're all – like imaginary playing instruments. It looks so incredibly awkward.
Giant enemy crab.
Yeah, I saw that. They were all up on stage, like embarrassed, and it's just press people down there. Are they all kind of like embarrassed for the people on stage?
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
What's worse is when you hear the guys talking and you hear like like coughing in the background. So it's just like so quiet in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the hands-on footage I saw on G4 of like. Left 4 Dead.
Oh yeah, Left 4 Dead. Gears of War 2 looks awesome.
Resident Evil 5 co-op, where you could let the chick, you could hold out your hand and flip her over to the other side or whatever.
Did you hear that they're not done with Resident Evil 5 and that they've dropped hints that they're going for an aiming system similar to Gears of War?
Right.
But that they only used the Resident Evil 4 aiming system for the demo. That it's not the finished aiming system.
Awesome.
So I was like, oh, awesome.
That game looks intense.
That was my main issue with Resident Evil 4 was that clunky aiming system with the laser.
Yeah.
I hated that.
Well, you know what? The better the graphics get, the creepier Resident Evil gets because it's more lifelike.
Yeah, true.
The weird infected...
Is life like as zombies can get.
What it looks like is zombie skinnies from Black Hawk Down is what the...
It really does. It is.
I got skinnies with RPGs, and they're zombies.
They must be in Somalia.
It looks really just crazy and dirty and filthy, the graphics. It's just...
Yeah, I love naked women all over the place.
Huh?
Dirty, filthy. Never mind.
Dirty, filthy cyborg? You know, you don't want to do that because you could get a weird disease.
Giant enemy crab.
Yeah, you can.
Those are even worse. You never want to get giant enemy crabs.
Attack its weak point for massive damage.
That guy sounds so stilted when he's talking.
I love how he, like, during the whole thing, he's like...
He keeps trying to clear his throat. You know he's just thinking... I'd kill for a glass of water right now.
I'm so dead. No one's paying. I've lost them.
Sunny D.
I've done that so many times on the show. Like I'm like just like I can't clear my throat.
I'm really looking forward to the rebuild of Xbox Live, the 8-player party stuff, watch movies together, play games together, share photos, listen to music. I mean, it's really becoming a cool like social network almost.
It is. That's what you can watch. 8 people can watch a movie at the same time, and you could all be on headsets or whatever. I was telling Andy, we all have a separate recording device and record ourselves. We could do commentary and then edit it all together.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great idea.
Because the sound quality on the actual Xbox headset sucks.
that's what Andy and John do for the Hollywood Saloon, right? They talk over the phone and record themselves, and then
right.
John sends it to Andy, and Andy puts it together. So.
Yeah, and they just sync it up together.
Yeah, so that wouldn't be too hard.
I mean, it's just an idea. It'd be really cool that you could, like, hey, showtime starts, and we all sit down and just chat or whatever. Who knows? It could be annoying, but it could be good. We could also play games together. I mean, you can do that anyway, but that's what I wonder, like, the 8-party system. Could we play, like, Ridge Racer together? Race cars?
I'd rather play against giant enemy crabs.
Ridge Racer!
The guys, he's trying to pep up the crowd. Come on, Ridge Racer! Not happening. Hey, I want to thank a lot of our listeners from last week. We've got some donations, Bill, from some listeners.
We did.
And I want to thank them. That is really awesome. I want to just say their names right now. Izzy, Brian, Jason Pash, Mazer, and Ross. Ross, I meant to write down your last name, but I didn't know if you wanted me anyway, but... Ross, Izzy, Mazer, Jason, Brian, thanks, guys, for your donations. It was awesome. The best turnout we've ever gotten. It's really going to help towards the feed.
And it's coming up, too. I paid, like, a couple months into it, and the renew's coming up, so I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, it's so awesome and so generous, and I just... You know, I sounded like a whiny bastard last week, but really when it comes down to it, if you appreciate the show and you have a few bucks, throw it our way. Think of it as you're buying us drinks after the show, you're paying feed time, you're supporting our Coke habit, Diet Coke, Steven.
Diet Coke. Diet Pits.
Oh, where's the rim shot?
It's good Coke.
Oh. You're paying for... Whatever.
Giant enemy crab.
Yes, exactly. But thanks, guys, for donating.
Paying for Steven's treatment for giant enemy crab. From the horn,
from the rim jaw.
Hit that weak point for massive damage, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Now, guys, we got a couple of voicemails. And first of all, Rick. We need to cut Rick some slack here. He's Rick from Fort Worth. He's a huge listener of our show. He frequently voicemails us. He sends me emails all the time. He is, most likely his wife has had their child, because he called in here to tell us that they're going to induce labor, and then they're going to tonight, and you can tell that he's all over the place. You can tell he's trying to get his mind off of, I know when my wife was going to give birth to my daughter, I was a wreck. It's just like, because it's all 9 months of building up to this moment, and it's finally going to come, and will it ever happen? It's delayed. Yeah. It's on again. It's off again. You're sitting still. You don't know what to do with yourself. So what does Rick do? He calls Norm Mulberry and talks to us. So this is actually 4 separate voicemails that I've just put into one voicemail. So let's check out how Rick's doing.
Hey, citizens of Mulberry. It's Rick from Fort Worth. Nub the squirrel in the chat. whenever I'm on. And I just wanted to give you guys a quick update on the whole baby situation. We are inducing on Monday, on the 21st, and we are supposed to be expecting the kid by the 22nd. We don't know what it is yet. We have names picked out. And, yeah, that's otherwise, that's pretty much it. So I'll keep you guys posted if y'all want to know.
J-Strub's a good name.
Otherwise,
for a boy.
I did get a chance to see.
He's a masculine child.
And I thought it was very well done. I really enjoyed it quite a bit. I'm very much looking forward to Batman. I'll be seeing it on the really big screen over here in Southlake in the DFW area.
I'm not thinking that Rick got to see Batman.
For the janitor at a theme park movie is freaking brilliant. Here's the thing, though. Here's how you prompt them to start using guns again. You make his son.
He's talking about the custodian here, our movie idea.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Somebody else had a great name in the forum.
There was a couple of them. There was Swiley had the custodian 2 run through the jungle for the sequel in the zoo/water park.
Right.
And who else had – someone had a really good – really, really good one.
I can't remember it.
I'm going to look right now.
When the bad guys take over and start taking hostages, and at one point they find out that his son is there, and they make him threatened, which prompts the janitor to start using the guns again.
Star Trek.
Perfect title, I would think, would probably be The Janitor. There you go.
No, it's The Custodian.
Just want to throw that little nugget out to you guys.
We can't
use
do janitor. That's
it.
Too obvious.
If you want it, let it simmer. I don't know. So you're calling it The Custodian, all right? And then the sequel,
he's got
Custodian
those keys
2,
on the
Feeding Time, if you're setting it at a zoo.
Feeding
that's
Time.
Well, that's... Remember how I said that we were inducing labor of the baby for Monday, and the kid was going to be born next Tuesday? Yeah, forget all that. It's happening tonight. Thursday. Yeah. Wish me luck. And
good luck,
talk
Rick.
To you soon.
That's what I'm saying. He's not getting to see Batman this weekend. I can't imagine, like if my wife just had our child, I'm like, I want to go see The Dark Knight. I'm just going to step out for a minute.
I'll sneak out for a smoke.
It's like,
and I'll be back.
That's not going to happen.
Well, congrats, Rick, on the baby.
Yeah. You named him either Steven, Bill, or Jason, I'm hoping, if it was a boy. So let us know.
Ridge Racer.
Or Ridge Racer. Oh, that would be
name.
Awesome.
Ridge Racer.
My name's Ridge. Ridge Racer. It's like Speed Racer, but Ridge, kind of his...
Nice.
Kind of his square jaw cousin.
It was Thrill Ride.
That's right.
Was the name for the first movie.
That is a good one.
Yeah, if it's at a theme park. God.
And I was thinking about what he was saying. I said, the son holding the son hostage. Wasn't that, like, the
Commando.
Search for Spock?
Kind of Commando-ish, too.
Yeah, true. With the daughter. It's just a device they use in a million movies. But I was thinking, wasn't there, like, Entourage where they wanted Vince to do some kind of amusement park? Oh, it was like a serial killer in an amusement park, wasn't it?
Oh, you know what would
the
be
Matterhorn?
Great? Instead of the kid, have, like, his dog or something, or his cat.
No, I think what we could do is what every tacky movie does, kids in peril. In the fun time area part of the thing, those kids.
Oh, we have to do that.
Yeah, the kids who are on
that
the Looney Tunes
the first
Adventures
thing.
Area.
I still say, you're like, okay, he's still got all the opportunities, you know, there's a gun laying there, but there's also, like, a mop head, and he uses the mop head instead.
Right. And eventually he goes back, and there's no
there's
other
nothing
alternative.
Left except, he's used up all his cleaning items.
And
the first thing he has to do is rescue kids that are stuck on a roller coaster that's upside down. That would be the first thing. The terrorists would hold them hostage in the roller coaster so they wouldn't be able to get out, and he has to sneak in, take out the terrorists, and then get the kids out, and then go after the big bad guy.
Nice. We got another voicemail, this one from a Clueless Movie Guy. I think this is a Canadian Clueless Movie Guy. Let's check
does
it out.
Does he say a boot?
Yeah, I believe he does.
Hey, is this that No Way show?
Whoa.
I love you guys' show, eh? Real beaut stuff. I called because I need some help, and you guys know a lot about the movies.
See,
so I hope you can help me. See, I saw a couple on the CBC the other day.
Wait a second.
They were pretty
is
good
this
at
a black Canadian? It's gonna like a hello there. This is a black
Canadian. Spit Kool-Aid on my
this is one that talking animal doctor guy in it.
Okay.
Except I don't even think he had a job in this one. And there was that blues guy, and he's rich, but he's not rich. And then at the end, they win the stock market somehow. Didn't really figure out how that happened.
Talking about
Trading Places.
And then there was this other movie, and it had that bug scientist guy from that TV show, and he messes up traffic real bad. And the bad guy was some kind of goblin, but in this one, he really liked to paint. Can't really remember what it was called, but oh man, it had a great theme song, eh? Well, I best be heading out, so thank you guys kindly for
your
help.
I have no idea what he's talking about. What movie is he talking about?
He's talking about...
Is Willem Dafoe the goblin guy?
The goblin guy.
Oh, is he talking about Spider-Man?
Nobody likes to paint. Did he play an artist in something?
Did he like to paint in that horrible Troy Duffy movie?
No.
Who else? He said there was another guy in the bug movie.
Oh, in the bug movie.
He's talking about Starship Troopers, Men in Black? I don't know.
No, Bug Scientist, he said.
Bug Scientist.
Is that Doogie Howser?
Doogie Howser?
Is he talking about Starship Troopers?
I have no idea. Wow. I'm confused. My head hurts.
I was confused. Wow. You know, it's like vague in my head, and it's going to pop into my head during the show. But what do you say we get into?
To Live and Die in L.A.? Was that the scientist guy?
That's William Peterson.
CSI, Willem Dafoe. Wasn't Willem Dafoe in that, too?
I think so. But what about the bugs? What do you say about bugs?
I think the bug scientist guy was, what's his name, from CSI. William Peterson, right?
William L. Peterson. I don't know, but anyway, let's check out entertainment. Guess what? None of us have seen The Dark Knight, but we want to.
Or Hellboy 2.
We probably will this weekend.
Actually, I've seen Hellboy 2.
Oh, you did? How is it?
Yeah, I did. It's good. It's good. It's fun.
What I was going to say, that now that Batman's out, isn't it kind of like, okay, forget about that movie?
Yeah, but you know what I did see that I really, really liked that I don't think many people have seen or even remember?
What's that?
Taken with Liam Neeson, directed by Luc Besson.
Oh, you have? How have you seen that?
I have my ways.
The trailer looks awesome. Tell me it's good.
It's good.
Oh, nice.
Liam Neeson is awesome in it.
Oh, man, you got to send that my way. I really want to see that.
Okay, well.
That's about
it. No, it wasn't Luc Besson that he produced it. He wrote it, actually.
He wrote Luc Besson's writing a lot of scripts to movies, and then he does
it. It was Pierre Morel, I believe, that directed it.
Liam Neeson looks like a badass in it, is he?
He is a badass, because Pierre Morel is the guy that did District 13, or District B-13,
oh,
right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because so, I remember the name.
What happens is he lets his daughter go abroad, as they say, and she's abducted, and they're holding her for ransom. And he's like, I'm a man with a set of skills, and you're pissing off the wrong guy, basically. And basically he's like one of those one-man army kind of guys, am I right? Jack Bauer, yeah. James Bond, or whatever. You know, one of those guys,
Steven
Rambo,
Seagal.
Those guys who one guy can take out everybody. He's one of those guys. But he was retired and leaving it all behind. Yeah. And I can't wait to see it.
Basically, he kills a lot of Albanians.
Nice!
So, lots of Albanians.
Nice, I can't wait to see that. But okay, Dark Knight, we're going to talk about it next week after we see it. It's probably going to make $1 billion this week. I don't know. There's not much more to say about that, except for in front of the movie, the Watchmen trailer's in front of it.
Oh,
and we
I cannot wait to see that on the big screen.
We watched it online. Bill said, it's up, it's up. And I had to go, I had to look at it. And, wow. It just, you know, first of all, I want to say this, Bill, because The Watchmen was written in the 80s. And yes. A lot of movies and TV shows have borrowed story elements from The Watchmen since it came out. So if you've never read The Watchmen, you might go see the movie and go, this seems familiar. Didn't they do this in The Incredibles? Or this is similar to
Heroes.
Season 1 of Heroes. Or this kind of reminds me of Lost a little bit. And those are three things that come to mind immediately. And you know what I'm talking about with Lost, right, Bill? The similarities there? So
many things have borrowed from The Watchmen. It is incredibly influential in a lot of television and movies.
So I'm going to say this. Zack Snyder is a huge fan of the graphic novel, the series, comic book series, graphic novel. And the movie is a testament to his love for it. So I'm going to say, don't go see The Watchmen without having read it. I think everyone should read it before they see the movie, because you will see how groundbreaking it was back in the 80s. If you go see it blind now, you could easily go, well, hey, a lot of the story elements I've seen before. Yeah, that's because they've been used since then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they've taken, borrowed.
Right. It's just like if you were to watch the very first Halloween now and you'd never seen it, but you've seen a slew of slasher films, you're like, there's nothing special about this movie. Except it did it first before they copied it.
Right.
You know? So that's what I'm going to say. Go read The Watchmen before you see the movie, because then you will see now this teaser trailer. It was
why it means so much to us.
Right, it does. And just the visuals are incredible. When I saw Billy Crudup, as I call him, I thought that was incredible. Oh, man, Night Owl.
To be the first thing they show in the trailer, him in that chamber, and
because
then
the one,
hair grow up. Oh, my God.
He was the one character there was no shots of yet.
Yeah.
And the Night Owl in action looks badass.
And that scene that whenever they go see him in the in his lab, and he has multiple versions of himself working on different things, and then they all turn and combine into. I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe they did that.
And you know, he's going. He used the graphic novel as storyboards, Dave Gibbons' art. And the idea of, you know, first of all, if you haven't read The Watchmen, basically each hero in the story kind of represents a DC character in a way. Night Owl is Batman, essentially.
Yes.
Right? Wouldn't you say? Yeah.
He is Batman, totally.
Right, he is Batman.
But again, you have the dynamic of the old Night Owl and the new Night Owl.
Right. There's all these kind of golden age kind of hero type of ideas in there. It's just, it's really dense material that they're working with the movie, and there's so much detail that they could go into, and it sounds like Zack Snyder has. I'm just really excited about it. And you know,
I think I think what people need to understand is this was the teaser itself is exactly that. It's a teaser. It's for people that know what it's about, basically.
It reminded me
of
the 300 teaser, Bill.
What?
It reminded me exactly of the 300 teaser.
It did.
Nine Inch Nails music with just images where we finally get a glimpse of it.
Again, the music they chose, the rare track. I mean, this thing is not on – I don't think it's on any albums. You have to be a fan to have it, is the Smashing Pumpkins track, The End is the Beginning of the End, or The End of the Beginning is the End, is perfect. Even in the title of the song, is perfectly represents the Watchmen as a book, as a film.
And you know what's funny is we kind of had – I know that you really – you watched the trailer over and over, didn't you?
Oh, my – I can't stop because they posted it up at 1080p on the Apple site. And you see so much more.
And I watched it. I was just saying, like, we were kind of having this in awe moment. Like, wow, he pulled it off. It looks like the images from the book and everything. And, hey, let's check out the Hollywood Saloon Forum to see what they're talking about it. And the poster on there named The Phantom, Bill and I just kind of went off on this guy.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I had just seen it. I posted like, oh, my God, it's up. I can't believe it. I was literally, when I saw it, I mean, this book means so much to me. It was basically my first graphic novel, my first foray into comics. You know, this thing came out in the early 80s, and I got into comics in the late 80s, early 90s. I was given this book by, you know, a friend. And it just means a lot to me because it's so much
deeper
than any. It
means a lot to a lot of people. It's the kind of thing, Bill, The Watchmen, it came out in the 80s. You pick it up every couple of years or so and read it again kind of thing.
Like I actually went out of my way to buy
the hardbound DC Absolute Watchmen.
Right.
Which they've it's like so many of these books. Yeah. It's amazing. I read it at least two times a year.
What about that image of Rorschach with the spray can and the fire? I was just like, dude, that is so awesome. It's just like, I was like, it's just like in the panel in the comic book. It's really cool.
The scene, the one shot that really got me was the scene of the comedian torching the Vietnamese.
Yeah.
And then in the background to the right of the screen, you see the legs of Dr. Manhattan.
Right.
Like these, the gigantic calves, and it gives scope to the idea that he's enormous. Like in that one shot with the helicopters, you don't know if he's in the foreground and the helicopters are behind him, or if he's an actual giant.
Right.
And it just, that really got me. I loved it.
Right. And what I was talking about in the forum is one of the posters kind of mentioned.
Oh, sorry.
It was a total buzzkill post where he said, well, I hope that's not the finished CGI. And
then he ragged on Zack Snyder, saying that, I guess in the trailer it says from the visionary director of 300. And he goes, well, I guess now visionary means that you can take images from a book and put them on film.
Right.
And quite frankly, for him to be able to do that as he did is pretty friggin' visionary in my book.
I agree. And my whole thing is I kind of went on a little rant there, but I'm so sick of seeing trailers to things, and the first thing you hear from someone like, hope that's not the finished CGI, because that looks pretty sloppy. Oh,
yeah.
It's just like, guess what? It is not the finished CGI, and you know that. The movie's not coming out till the summer of 2009, am I right?
Yep, March 9th, 2009,
there's no way you're looking at final...
No, anything final.
And Andy kind of brought up something I kind of brought up. Remember when the first teaser trailer to Cloverfield came out and the Statue of Liberty head was too small? And
exactly.
It went through so many different incarnations. You can go and look on the internet. That first teaser trailer, Statue of Liberty head, and the finished one, it looks nothing like it. It wasn't. But so many people spend so much time, well, the effects don't look very good. This doesn't look like it's finished. Blah, blah, blah. It's not finished. Why do you even waste time writing that? I was ready to talk about how brilliant it looked, but then we got to get into the CGI discussion. Yeah. Oh, the CGI looks kind of shaky there. Can we talk about something else? Why does it always have to be the same friggin' comments on everything?
I mean, I hate to say it, but honestly, it's one thing to listen to the show and enjoy a critique of something, enjoy... taking a movie apart for what it is, but then to like make a comment where it almost comes across as you could have done a better job, that kind of arrogance.
Well,
and it's like, well, you know what? You're not making movies. He is. How about if you just shut up?
It's the moviegoer cynicism thing, Bill.
Yeah.
And, I was probably the same way in my 20s. I used to rag on Spielberg when I was in my early 20s, But, that same kind of... where you get real excited and you overanalyze everything about a movie. We kind of talked about this last week with you have to read screenplays and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I really just think I've grown out of that where I'm not interested anymore. I just want to see a finished movie. You know what I mean?
Now, yeah, it's like whenever I saw that it's like you said, the Inglourious Bastards script.
Right.
I don't want to go anywhere near it. Seen the original. I have that in my mind. That's all I need.
Well, for instance, like The Watchmen, we know what the story is and we know how it ends and everything like that. But
yes.
That's why I think we were possibly interpreting the trailer differently than someone who had no idea what any of it is. They're trying to find some, what is the story here or whatever like that. But instead, we're like seeing images that we already know. So take it for what you will.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. I haven't been excited about movies often lately.
When somebody sees that trailer, they don't understand that it's not your typical superhero movie. It's about, mortality, socialism, apocalypticism, conspiracy.
And let me tell you right now, if you haven't seen Watchmen, there's not a lot of action in it. Oh, somebody's calling us. We haven't gotten a phone call in a long time. Hello, you're on the air.
All right, guys, I wanted to jump into this conversation.
Who is this?
Oh, this is your worst enemy. I'm here to take you, Slayer.
Oh, it's Andy. Oh,
Andy.
Ridge Racer.
How's it going, Andy?
Ridge Racer Andy.
Here he comes. Here comes Ridge Racer.
All right, join in on this conversation.
Okay. Yes, I don't know how far I missed because of the delay, but, you know, what you guys are talking about is a sickness. It's a sickness in Hollywood, and it's really destroying the love of films. I think you guys had every right as a property that you love to go and watch that trailer and be excited about it.
Right.
There's been a lot of talk in the Saloon forums about anticipating films.
Right.
So much so that we're building a whole show around it. That's the whole show.
Awesome.
About how you have two sides building up to the launch of a film. The side that's wooing us and just throttling us with promotional materials to get us ready. And then what people bring to the movie. And
baggage.
People bring preconceptions. They bring excitement and all that. And I'm even going to talk about your theory, Jason, which I think is a sound theory, but I think it's full of shit.
Let the movie come to me.
I mean, it's great, but I think it's a sad way of coping with not letting yourself be excited about movies that you have every right to be excited about.
But it's not a conscious thing, though, Andy. I'm waiting to get excited. It's just not happening. But it is
with
Watchmen.
That's fine. I think part of that problem is because Hollywood is acclimatizing us and
it's not just Hollywood, it's the friggin' internet, all right?
No. There's a whole second other side to it.
Oh, okay.
I think
I'll let you talk.
there's multiple partners in this whole nightmare that's going on. A lot of it is the whole ain't it cool news thing that spreads across the internet and poisons us.
The anticipation, the cynicism.
All that kind of stuff. I think the correct response is what you guys felt when you saw the Watchmen trailer. Excitement, you know, look what's going on. Now, you got a little defensive when people started saying, you know, hey, that looks like shit.
I mean, turned into a 16-year-old.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Because, I mean, I think because in a way, it's like they are telling you you're stupid for feeling that way, which is a lame response. I don't think Phantom Menace, he's a good guy. I know him. I think it's a quick response. I did it myself with the Hulk trailer when it first came out because I'm so invested in Hulk. I love Hulk from my childhood.
No, I get it. I even said to him that basically it was kind of like a buzzkill reaction, and I jumped all over him. And
it was just a knee-jerk thing, and I know that's how it goes because what it is it sounds elitist, like someone's talking down to you and saying,
actually, it's not that good.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, that's
stupid.
How I felt when I first read it after my initial post. I was like, "Oh, he's just trying to, you know, take the wind out of my sails."
You don't appreciate things like I do.
I think that as moviegoers, we have a right when a property comes up that we love and something that we want to see, and it doesn't matter what the movie is. You know, I think we have a right to be excited about it and go in with anticipation because. You know, and John made this point to me when we were discussing the show we're building, is, you know, when you go to a restaurant, you expect good food. And you pay your money, you expect a good dining experience. You don't expect to have something that's just middle of the road.
Right.
If you go and have a middle of the road experience, you don't go to that restaurant again. And so I think it's wrong to let ourselves believe I'm not going to build my excitement up so that...
Right. And it's, like I said again, I don't think it's a conscious decision that it's just being beaten down to a point where you just do it. You know what I mean?
The only place where that argument fails is people expect, you know, a good meal when they go to a restaurant. But what about the people that go to see disaster movie or Meet the Spartans? Mm-hmm. Are they looking to go to like a sidewalk vendor? I mean, is that their meal?
Well,
it's shit. Why do they continue to go? Why do they perpetuate
that? That's teenage Friday night market is what that is. I mean,
that will always happen.
Graphics. That's one weekend.
They haven't developed their taste yet.
Right. I can remember seeing some pretty shitty movies when I was a teenager.
Come on. Joysticks. Yeah.
Like Megaforce?
I saw Lawnmower Man twice in the theater. Oh, wait. I was in my 20s, I think. No, but anyway.
Yeah, because we're like, look at those graphics.
Awesome. I am
this
God
is
here.
My world now.
Do you remember that? I am God here.
Oh,
it's like,
yeah, I am God
badass.
Here.
No, but Andy, you know the whole let the movie come to you? I'm not letting myself get excited about it. I am. What I'm saying is I am not bringing baggage with me to the theater. Honestly, I think a lot of people bring a lot of baggage with them when they go see the movie. I honestly believe a lot of people go to see a movie thinking, this is going to suck. Or
right.
I'm going to rip this movie.
Or they're one. Right. You have to go to impossible lengths to impress me.
Right, right. And
if it doesn't do that, then it sucks,
you know,
to them.
And that's obscene. You know, I think people need to get a grip. I think people need to turn off these retarded websites. I mean, come on. When we were young, there was no website to find out so you could read a script ahead of time. I don't want to read a script.
The only
ahead
way
of time.
You could get a preview is to read the novelization before the movie. You know,
right? Well, I remember. You know, it's like now we know. You know, 3 years in advance before a movie is coming out, and we get details all along the way.
I know.
Mean, it comes to the point
you get Harry Knowles reading script reviews, writing script reviews of a movie that's not come out yet.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And then, you know, saying from his throne on high that we should not read it. You know what I mean? It's like, who the hell are you, Harry? Who appointed you fanboy over all of
and
us?
Why the hell is James Cameron calling him
most
on the phone?
Yeah, that's what I hate the most about Ain't It Cool News is he's now, like, lord all of fanboys.
Yeah, I think we need to make a vow, all of us together someday, that we're just done with that stupid site. You know what I mean? That and ones like it.
Can I give a critique of that site, too? Does anyone understand any of the headlines to their stories?
No, they're always vague. And you know, they do that so that you click on them.
Instead, it just annoys the shit out of me.
You know what? And you get regular people who have no credentials of any way, anything whatsoever other than they watch movies. I mean, just like all of us. And they do their reviews, and they say ridiculous things like The Dark Knight is the greatest superhero movie in the universe and all this. And it's like, of course you're going to get all these expectations built up. Wait and see it for yourself, you know, because if you start thinking, you know, if I don't leave this thing thinking it's, you know, better than Superman, better than Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, it's
than,
so stupid. You know, but, you know, I can remember, Andy, teenager years, being in the red on the hypometer, like, I gotta see this movie, I'm gonna blow up, oh my god, and you go see the movie, and it's just like, oh, it's just like this.
That's how I was.
It's Christmas morning. It's never as good, and a depression sets in when you're that excited about something.
Well, you know what? That has a lot to do with the market that we're in today. That has a lot to do with the fact that they announce a movie 12 months before it hits the theaters, you know, it's like, do you think James Cameron was told, all right, you've got, you know, 8 months to make Aliens? Hell no. He made the movie and it was ready when it was ready, basically, you know? I mean, the climate was a lot more friendly to that. I'm sure they had release dates, but there was none of this squatting on a release date 3 years ahead of time and stuff. You know, people saying, we've reserved May 3rd, 2011. It's like, you need to get a damn life. You know, it's like, stop with this marketing 3 years ahead of time. It's all marketing that leads up. That's why they call it a launch, you know, because it's like thousands of people and millions of dollars spent in this to all get to this culmination day. And you're seeing it right now with The Dark Knight. I mean, Warner Brothers has been stroking this thing from, you know, for years now, getting it pumped up to this time. And, you're probably going to see some box office records broken. Now, thank God, at the very least, you've got a guy like Christopher Nolan behind this to actually make it a good film.
Right. So I just hope it's a good story and it's an entertaining movie. And it's not going to be when the movies are like, I no longer need to watch any movies from now on. That was it. You know, it's not going to happen.
I'm going to go home and throw every DVD away that isn't Criterion Collection.
But I understand what you're talking about. This, it's so weird. It's like excitement for movies, but it turns on you where you end up hating everything, and it's happened.
See, and I liked when Jason and I would go just find the worst, most awful movies we could think of, and just watch them and enjoy them.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's how I was in high school. I had a friend named Tim, and all we did every weekend, Friday after school, was, hey, let's go see a movie. We drive out. I remember we would go watch the worst movies and actually enjoy them. Like one day we went to see that Minnesota movie with Cameron Diaz and Keanu
Reeves. Guy. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we saw that. And Bye Bye Love with Paul Reiser.
Jesus.
I mean, we would go see garbage just to go to the movies.
In a way, with any hobby, it's ignorance is bliss. The people who aren't interested in that shit and they just want to see a movie, they have it the best way, in a way. It's like, you know, the same with home theater, right? Whatever. You overanalyze things.
You know what it's like? I think here's what we have to do. There's two steps. One step is that the system is broken, and there's nothing you can do about that. I mean, what you really have to do is we have to control ourselves and not dig in the dirt and not go looking for these things. Just, it's like we have anticipation, but it's almost like you have to just discipline yourself. It's like, I'm not going to go to this website. I'm just going to let the movie sit in pure form. I'm not going to listen to all these different attitudes.
That's what I'm going to have to do with Watchmen, too, you know?
And as far as it's something like Watchmen, I mean, why do we have to judge a trailer means nothing? It's marketing.
That's what I mean.
Ripped out.
Why does
you saw that post? You saw that post that I put up about my friend Adam Ely, who is a matte painter.
Yeah.
Who works films? He works at Weta now in New Zealand, and he was working on Cameron's Avatar film, and they pulled him off of Avatar so that he could help finish up the trailer for The Day the Earth Stood Still, the new Keanu Reeves movie that's coming out.
Right.
At Christmas time. So the point, what I was saying was, is that these trailers are built as a film unto themselves. It's not even close to the...
It's because they need the proper buzz.
Right. It's built as a short film onto itself. I mean, that's why you see movies with... it's like, well, that shot wasn't in the trailer. No, that's because... movie's not done.
Well, also, did you see that
we will not cheapen the janitor that way?
Yeah. Well, did you see Andy? J.J. Abrams will not show any Star Trek because he's not ready to. He none of the effects he's ready to because he doesn't want
to
read that.
He showed it to Harry, but he showed it to Harry.
Yeah.
I lost about 10 points of love for J.J. Abrams when I heard that he was, like, you know, whacking off Harry on the side.
I just want to know how he got that. How did he get that position? King fanboy.
Well, because he was first. Because
he represents the entire fanboydom.
But he's an asshole.
And this is what Jansen told me, is that Star Trek is a very volatile thing, and a lot of people, if they hear bad things, will turn on it. And Harry is the Hollywood thinks that he's the fanboy voice, and so they're going to court him. So
they're going to see – he's the barometer. What are these nerds going to think of this shit? Let's
you know
show it
what?
To this
somebody
dipshit.
That can't appreciate Mystery Science Theater 3000 is an asshole for me. Like, he well, thinks that's, like, blasphemy.
You know what? God bless the guy. I'm glad – you know, he had success, and, his site has been fun to receive things. But the way that Hollywood kowtows down to him and the way that he also – allows Hollywood to, you know, it's like he'll change his mind about something or not do a bad review. I mean, did you really think that he was going to say something bad about Hellboy 2? What if he really didn't like Hellboy 2? Do you think he would do a review and be like, oh, all of a sudden Harry's thoughts on Hellboy 2 weren't on the site? He's good buddies with Guillermo del Toro. So if it's good, I mean, it cracked me up when I was surfing the web and there was an ad there that said, "Ain't it cool news? Says Hellboy 2 is awesome." You know, big shocker there.
Well, I actually think the movie probably is decent. I don't think it's bad.
It's good. It's not great. It's fun.
Well, I'm not judging the film. I'm just saying, you know, it's like, come on, can you be any more biased? Anyone who you're trying to market this film to, I mean, Hellboy 2 is kind of a fanboy type marketing film.
I think what it is we've seen through the bullshit now, and it's hard to put up with this shit because, okay, say a new trailer posts, okay? Do you guys ever do this? You go to a site, Ain't It Cool News or any others, a new trailer posts. It could be Watchmen or any other movie. Kind of scroll down to read the comments, the talkback thing.
It
fills your body with cancer is what it does. Just all the negativity, the nitpicking.
I guess the only ones I see are the ones that when you get excited, you show me. You know, you showed me Cloverfield, and I enjoyed it. You showed me Watchmen.
It's awesome. Like this, Steven. You smile.
And I don't when I'm up. When I'm out of town, I don't surf those sites.
And it's good, because what I'm saying is you watch the trailer, you're excited, scroll down and read why you're wrong. Read why you should not be excited. Read why this is bullshit. Read why the CGI sucks.
Guys, part of this problem has a lot to do with, you know, the internet and blogging. Everyone thinks their voice is important, you know? I mean, we're even guilty of it. We have our own shows. We're no righteous than anyone else to cast down our views.
But we don't think our voices are important. We're right, just idiots. Right.
We just like what we like, and we're stupid, you know?
I admit that I'm not very judgmental on films. I mean, yeah, if a movie sucks and it's watchable, but if it does suck, I will say so. Like, Vantage Point.
If something strikes me sour, like Atonement did, I'll attack it like a pit bull on a pant leg.
You almost have to preface in your shows. You have to tell everybody, look, this is my opinion. This is what I think. If you don't like it, turn it off. But I'm not going to have to placate every single time I say, I think this, I think that, with, in my opinion. You're just going to have to understand it.
Right.
We got a lot of grief recently for slamming the hell out of Crystal Skull.
But,
you know, in the end, I would hope that our listeners would agree, this is just what me and John think. It is by no means, you know, handed down on high and final. Everyone's got their own opinion.
Exactly. These weren't, it's not delivered by God. It's not the Ten Commandments.
No way. And if people do that, well, then I feel sorry for them. And I wouldn't want to hear a show like that.
Andy, if you bring up my theory of let the movie come to you and you bash it, you need to let me come on the show to defend it, okay?
I understand it, but...
I think you're taking, you're kind of twisting what I'm saying a little bit to... I'm not letting myself get excited about it.
He's excited, but he's not reading all the other stuff to bring him down.
I'm going in as a blank canvas. Let the movie show me what it has. I don't want to have all this shit built up,
ideas.
This baggage with me. Like, this is why it should be good. This is why it should be the best movie ever. I'm really excited about it. As a childhood, I was a big fan. I don't want any of that shit. I just want to watch the movie and see what I think of it.
Well, but you know, but I mean, there is a thing where you add one and one and it makes two. I mean, when you look at a film, you say, okay, Harrison Ford, it's an Indiana Jones film.
Right.
It's Steven Spielberg. Things add up. You know, and you start thinking to yourself, well, odds are that this thing should at least be palpable, you know, not just an embarrassment. I mean, go to Spider-Man 3, and I know you like Spider-Man 3, but a lot of people don't.
Everyone's wrong about it except me.
So what you can say is at the time when that came out, no one would have expected that film, considering that you had the same director, the same actors, the same writers, basically. I mean, the same team coming back after making what was possibly one of the best superhero films ever, Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, it was the Empire Strikes Back of Spider-Man movies.
And then for it to come out and be ultimately mediocre.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I have a theory on Spider-Man 3. I won't get into it now, but it has to do with Venom.
It's that you go to the movie, not the movie go to you?
No, it has to do with Venom. Being a villain for 10-year-olds, and these 10-year-olds are now grown up, and they can't stand their little lame-ass villain being in the movie the way he was. And that's what I think it was all about. But anyway, that's beside the point.
Well, and you know, like I'm saying, I think that I understand your theory, and please don't take it...
Ridge Racer!
Please don't take it mean that I'm knocking down your theory, because I think if it works for you, that's great. I'm just saying in
general... It would work for the masses, Andy.
Well, in general, across the board, I think that moviegoers, movie lovers, have a right to go in with anticipation and excitement that they are going to get an experience. My God, they're paying $10 to sit down, and if you include the entire date, if you take somebody, and you add the food... You're getting out there for more than you can buy, you know, two or three of the copies on DVD in 3 months.
Right.
So I think that you have a right of somewhat expectation if it's something that you're looking forward to.
I agree,
say,
too.
Watchmen.
What I'm talking, when I talk about that theory, I'm talking more about the negativity. I killed Andy. Andy, you there? Hello?
Bill?
We really did lose
Andy. I'm here.
Okay. I just make sure we didn't lose both of you.
So I'm here.
We lost Andy.
It's okay, Steven. I'm here.
Bill. Andy, we lost you. That's okay. We need to take a break anyway.
Yeah, we wrapped it up, so.
Much love, Andy. Let's take a break, Bill. We'll come back and do what's on our TiVo. This may turn into be the longest show ever.
Yeah, I think you're right.
All right.
We might have to split it in two.
All right. Be right back, everybody.
The world looks mighty good. delicious real fruit inside.
Real apple, blueberry,
strawberry,
new grape,
and big, but sorry,
we have no banana today.
No trouble.
No matter what the odds are, you're always ready for a gunfight with Hubba Bubba. Cause soft, juicy, delicious Hubba Bubba lets you blow amazing no-stick bubbles that won't stick to your face.
That's why they call them gum runners.
Big bubbles, no troubles.
Hubba Bubba Bubble Gum.
The adventure continues. Now with Batman, the cereal. Slow him down. Nothing can stop him from bringing it to you. It's here. A smashing taste. A honey nut flavor part of your complete breakfast. Batman cereal.
My girl, Darlene.
Butter.
Oh, no.
Butter.
Your parquet margarine.
Butter.
Hold it. My tuna surprise, bologna roll-ups, candles, flowers, parquet.
Butter.
Oh, she's here.
All right.
I'll taste you. Hey, you're really light. Creamy. You're butter.
Parquet.
Oh. Let me do the talking.
Taste parquet margarine. The flavor says...
Butter.
The storm knocked down that big wire.
Hey, let's jump our bikes over it.
Now, we better move it off the road.
No, you better leave that power line right where it is. There's enough electricity there to fry an elephant.
We didn't think it was dangerous.
You'd have found out too late. Remember, never play around electrical wires or you could be playing with fire.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Come with us now to the green moon of Endor, where the Ewoks are celebrating because Earth kids love their Ewok family hut.
We can help the trap Luke Skywalker.
Hurry, Ewoks.
Let's take the wagon, Princess Nisa.
The Ewoks save the day.
Hey! It's a galaxy of fun. The Ewok family hut comes with everything you see here. A Wicket the Ewok toy. New from Kenner.
Gonna have me some fun. Gonna have me some fun.
Break wasn't short enough.
Gonna have me some fun.
Andy, apologize for you getting cut off there. But it's probably good. We needed to take a break anyway. But Steve and I were talking about how we were having the kind of conversation that can never end.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that can go round and round and round. It, like, you circle back to the same point over and over again.
Yeah, but it's fun to talk about that stuff because
it is.
We're all on the same wavelength.
It's also the sort of thing that gives you an incredibly tired head.
Yeah. But that kind of conversation, you need somebody who is completely against what we're talking about in the conversation. Yeah. Because we're all like, yeah, I agree. I agree, Bill. I agree, Steven.
Yeah, we don't need to read anything about the movie beforehand. We just need to go
bend over. Let me suck your ass. I totally agree.
Mr. Wolf and and Pulpish. Let's not go sucking each other's dicks just yet, gentlemen. All right. Hey, let's get into what's on our TiVo. Yeah, let's do that. I've never done the show before. Okay, what's on your TiVo? I'm just going to sit over here for the rest of the show. Take over, okay?
Yeah, you don't want me taking over. I'll be on helicopter stories.
All right, before we get into a couple of TV shows, I saw this weird shit. That's the only way I could describe it, on the internet.
There's a lot of weird shit on the internet.
Or the internets, if you're a douchebag. Gary Busey did some kind of weird commercial thing for... What is Got V-Mail, anyway?
Got V-Mail? It's a voicemail company that you can sign up for to make your small business sound professional.
Okay, well, Gary Busey has done a little pitch here for it, except... I think he forgets to mention Got V-Mail till the end, and it makes no sense to what he's talking about. Let's check it out and see if you're as confused as I am.
How about this? Last month, Congress gave protected status to the polar bears, but not to the grizzlies or black bears. What if we created a line of hair dye for these bears so they can look like polar bears and be safe from the hunters? That is brilliant. Blacks and grizzlies are going... Come looking to find you. Easy to do when Got V Mail lets your phone ring anywhere and lets you get voicemail on your computer.
What?
That's great stuff.
Wow.
What?
Oh, I think he just got whiplash from that conversation. It just went a total 180, didn't it?
Because we're talking about freaking polar bears and grizzly bears, and then it turns into Got V Mail.
While you're out dying polar bears' hair is black, you can get V Mail.
Inventing a new paint to paint them.
I think Swiley is the credit for this. But on the forum, he posted a thing about Gary Busey, and it was an interview that Busey did with Metal Rules magazine back in the summer of 2002. And this kid asks him from Metal World, what's your favorite cheese? Gary Busey, he pauses and then says, cake. The guy says, cake? And Gary Busey says, yeah, cake. And then the guy goes, oh, okay. And Gary Busey says, cheesecake. So it's this mind of his that just... it's like incomplete.
Yeah,
like it's amazing. I think that motorcycle accident actually made him more interesting.
That is brilliant.
Wow, that's just, and his breathing is. He sounds like he has emphysema in that. Just listen to this first.
That
part.
Is brilliant.
No, not that part.
How about this? Last month. Congress gave protected status to the polar
Sounds like
bears,
Steven.
But not to the grizzlies.
It does, yeah.
Or black bears.
Steven's not that...
What if we created a line
he sounds
of
like
hair
he's
dye
in danger.
For these bears so they can look like polar bears?
He needs a...
And be safe mask. From the hunters. That is brilliant. Blacks and grizzlies are going, come looking to find you. Easy to do when Got V Mail lets your phone ring anywhere and lets you get voicemail on your computer.
That is right on topic.
What is he talking about?
God, I love that guy.
He's genius. He really is.
We need to do an interview with him.
Oh, God. There's too many of you talking at once. Oh,
we want it. J-Strom, I want to paint you.
Hold still. Wow. I love him, though.
Oh, that's neat. It's going to be 3D.
Okay, on The View this week, Elizabeth Hasselbeck started crying because...
Can somebody please put a bullet in her head?
What the story was about is Whoopi was talking about... Basically, in reality, there is a kind of, what would you say, There's white people and black people don't live in the same culture.
No.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck thinks everyone does, and they all live in a Republican harmony kind of a thing.
Oh. Well, so she's a communist?
She also hates the N-word. So anyway, there's all sorts of crap. She's kind of like Gary Busey.
What's the N-word done to her?
I don't know. Nincompoop, it offends a lot of people. Let's check this out.
We don't live in different worlds. We live in the same world.
We do live in different worlds. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know
what? Sorry. It's the way it is, Elizabeth. This is the way it is.
This
is how I grew up. My mother could not go and vote in the United States of America, the place of her birth. We would like to, but you don't understand. I want you to, but what I need you to understand is the frustration that goes along with when you say we live in the same world. It isn't balanced, and we would like it to be, but you have to understand, you have to listen to the fact that we're telling you there are issues, there are huge problems that still affect us, and you've got to know this.
I'm not trying to pick us. This is upsetting to me because.
No, baby. Okay, just take a breath and let someone else talk.
But this is a conversation that is hard, and we're going to have it here, and we have it here well.
Let the grown-ups talk, Elizabeth.
Yes. Oh, shut up, you freaking nitwit.
And we're trying to get to a place where we feel like we're in the same place.
You can't tell me that Barbara Walters isn't thinking, how do we get rid of this bitch?
Yeah. If we keep using
Can we all hold hands and sing Kumbaya? Just like, look, there's. Look, idiot, there's going to be hatred in the world. There's always going to be people who hate blacks.
She's literally confused about living in different worlds. She thinks we live on Earth, and it's like Whoopi saying that we live on Mars. I think she's got that like whole astronomy thing confused. She doesn't quite understand
there's a black community, a white community, there's Jewish communities.
I think the problem with this is they want to represent her age group on the show. They want to have, you know, 30s, 40s, or 90s like Barbara Walters.
But she's an idiot.
Yeah, but her age group in the 20s or whatever, no one cares about their opinion. I'm in my 30s and I don't care, you know?
But she has this ridiculous, faith-based, ideological...
Right. It's kind of a magical fairy
land. Realistic.
Yeah, it's kind of it's all magical kind of a thing, and everything makes you cry. So anyway,
but at least I know the difference between, you know, reality and some frigging, you know, self indulgent fantasy land.
I think
she obviously thinks she's supposed to be living in.
The problem is she's on TV talking about it. Okay, let's talk about Meryl Streep on Letterman. It was hilarious. Let's check it out.
And when I graduated from college, I went and joined a sort of a theatrical commune in Vermont,
wow.
Which was something
commune?
People did in those days. Mm-hmm. And, we did plays in the summer.
Okay. Was it one of those kind of like hippie deals?
Was yeah. There was a little bit of a hippie kind of a thing.
And was it like one of those free love kind of things? You know, when you think of the... Maybe not.
Now, you always had to pay.
Yeah, maybe.
Whoa. Whoa! She's a whore.
She's a whore. Great.
You know what? In Kramer versus Kramer era, Meryl Streep was kind of hot, I thought.
You know, who I always got him confused, but I'd have to say that Jessica Lange is much hotter.
Yeah, she was hot back in the day, King Kong.
Like, even in King Kong, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was like...
And I hate, you know what? In Big Fish, she's an attractive older lady. She's still a pretty
she's
woman.
She's an attractive old broad.
But I've never really found Meryl Streep attractive.
Didn't hold
she's always kind of looked
it.
A little, you know...
No, I'm telling you,
like
in Kramer
haggard.
Versus Kramer, she was. She's, you know, she's a little bit older... Now, not really my age bracket, but I'm talking about when Kramer versus Kramer, she's probably like my age now or whatever. I thought she was. But anyway, David Duchovny was on Leno, and he talks about stuff that everyone laughs at, and I didn't think it was that funny. And
he's bizarre.
I find a hole in his little theory here. Let's check it out.
It seems that whenever anybody gets abducted, either their teeth get drilled or they get anally probed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it occurred to me, because the story is over and over again about right. They drilled my teeth, they probed my anus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they say it like that, but that's
right.
How
right.
It
is.
Hopefully, we're not the same.
So
instrument.
It occurred to me, much like in olden days, when they would put insane people on a ship, the ship of fools. They'd send it out to sea.
Right.
You know, just put all the insane people. Like, let's get rid of them. Put them out. That perhaps an alien civilization takes its sex offenders and its dentists and pushes them out to the far reaches of the galaxy. And they happen to come this far.
Why sex offenders?
So what else are they going to do but take
well, anal probing.
And drill our teeth
that would be
and probe
a proctologist.
Our
anuses. Yeah.
If he's going along the doctor line,
not all sex offenders enjoy anal.
But what I'm saying is, if you're going to send a dentist, you would also send a proctologist. You wouldn't send a sex.
Yeah,
that's I'm finding a hole in his joke, and I can't laugh
at
it.
Why not a ship of doctors?
Yeah. So anyway, that was
orifice
so
doctors.
We're so short on material. What we weren't, we talked about friggin' movies for an hour. But anyway, hey, Project Runway's back. And the only reason this show is worth watching is because of Tim Gunn's voice, you guys.
Oh.
The way he talks, he's whiny, he might be gay. Just listen to him Just listen to this whole conversation, and it's brilliant how he can say words and sound so gay. It's great. Let's check it out.
Well, I know what this is. I didn't realize how much of this material was in this room. I just have to say, everybody, I'm seeing a lot of tablecloths around here. The reason we took you to Bastides was to use materials that were untraditional and unexpected. And a tablecloth, it is a form of
tablecloth.
I just think the judges are going to say, you guys are a bunch of slackers.
Yikes.
You've got to get these things to go beyond what they actually are. I suggest you keep this from looking so much like a picnic tablecloth.
All right, buddy.
Innovate.
Thanks, man. I was nervous, to say the least. I didn't realize that so many people would go after the same thing.
It's a conspiracy.
Is it? It's brilliant, isn't it?
I'm actually going to go take the tablecloth off my table now because it's gay.
And just
he's
like,
made tablecloth sound gay.
Well, you make a nice skirt out of it.
Ugh.
You guys are a bunch of slackers.
You know what it is? He's like an older version of that that Christian that was on there, where everything is so takes so much effort to talk. I don't understand that at the end of it.
Well,
maybe it's from getting repeatedly pounded in the ass. I don't know.
It's like this whiny kind of.
I'm in so much pain.
But the show's entertaining, so go figure. Okay, guys, let's get into two Corys. Two Corys took a week off for some reason, just to have us wanting more this week.
Yeah, what's the deal? I wanted to tune in.
They start out showing two episodes back to back. Now they're showing one new episode in the new episode from the week before. What the hell is A&E doing? It's so confusing.
It is confusing. It's like they're trying to get people not to watch it.
It just kind of...
And then they don't update their website so you can watch it if you missed it.
Yeah, they've got one episode on it. The first one.
Anally probed.
Yeah. And, okay, the two Corys, basically they're going back to the set of The Lost Boys 2 or Lost Boys, what is it called? It has some really stupid title.
And the Lost Boys, The Tribe.
The Tribe, you know, kind of like Custodian 3, The Tribe or something. No, that makes no sense. But anyway.
The Axe Gang.
So anyway, Corey's really excited about doing the flick. They always show them visit their therapist. Except he goes home to do his lines, and he says, I'm not going to sleep tonight. So he stays up all night long, doesn't get any sleep, shows up, and he's like, okay, I'm ready to do my makeup. And he's just like, woo! You know, he just seems kind of like really out of it and tired. And
Corey? Or which Corey?
Corey Haim. Corey Haim.
Okay.
And
Feldman's a complete professional.
Yeah, Feldman, he goes, dude, are you all right? And he's like, what? What do you mean? Why are you asking me that? And, you know, he's just, like, so defensive about everything.
Because he's high.
He's high. Let's go ahead and check out this clip here. And basically,
he's high on life.
Corey Haim is bombing seriously on the set. He can't pull a thought together. He's scatterbrained.
Oh,
he's freaking out. There's a scene where this guy comes up and he goes, Corey, we need you on the set. I think it's Tim Gunn. Corey. And he's like, we need to get at this close-up. And he's like, okay, look, dude, I need a cigarette, and I've got some problems with my character. And he goes, it's not your character, it's property of Warner Brothers.
Ouch.
This scene is staged. It's not real. It can't be real, okay? But also, they have a scene where he tells his, Corey Haim tells his assistant to bring his bag with his prescription medications. And you can hear it said, says in print on the screen, Corey didn't realize his mic was still on. You hear him going, like snorting, like that. So let's go ahead and check it out.
Maybe he's just blowing his nose.
Yeah.
So now I'm here, and I just like at one scene, I f***ed up my character. It up, man.
Hello. I've got a ride for you whenever you're
done. Thanks. Yeah, I don't want a close up, to be honest with you. Do you have a cigarette by chance? I need a cigarette.
We're losing light, man.
I understand that.
We have this conversation.
I need a creative discussion about what's going on here.
Look, Corey, we don't have time for this, all right? Let's just bang this out in 30 minutes.
You're not listening to me. This is my character and my reputation.
No, this is a Warner Brothers own character. Look, if we don't get this shot, the shoot's over and we're done.
Thank you. Do me a favor. Don't tell me what to do. Can I just have a cigarette, please, so I can just take a 2-minute break?
Have you seen him?
Barely. What's wrong? What's he doing?
I can't even put it into words. I have no idea what the he's doing. Like, massive meltdown.
I cannot believe that this is happening.
My black bag, do you know where it is?
No.
I need it. Oh, can you grab it to make up? Thanks.
Okay, listen to him. Listen closely. He's got a mic on. That could have been something else.
Do you think he's using
it? Yeah.
Oxycontin,
maybe?
Oh, well, that's not addictive. He's fine.
You know, it really shouldn't be on a, you know, maybe today, maybe not today basis.
When
I mean,
you're
it
a drug
is one
addict,
day at a time.
When you're a drug addict, it could be any
today
day.
Today would be a really bad day to pick.
I just want a bitch
this
slap.
This is upsetting
that,
to me.
Oh, sorry, Elizabeth. I want a bitch
slap
that guy.
Yeah, Susie Feldman needs to shut her mouth.
Well, I want a bitch slap Corey Haim because, okay, first of all, you're recovering drug addict or whatever. One sign of adversity, you're nervous about returning to film and you return to drugs. He says he didn't. He says he has prescription medication and he took 2 to take the edge off.
That edge happened to be his entire ability to concentrate on anything.
His prescription cocaine medication.
Yeah.
Now, and I was asking Steven, could he be such a drug, you know, ex-drug addict, or you're always an addict, that he took his prescription medication, chopped it up with a razor blade, then snorted it to get it into
his
system?
I'm saying. Yeah, like Oxycontin, that's what they do. You know, because it's a opiate
form
of heroin.
They wouldn't prescribe him that, would they, unless he had cancer?
They could prescribe him anything they wanted.
Or, you know, Xanax, something like that.
He's got the money.
I have never crushed Xanax. I've taken it, but I've never crushed it. I don't know if that would really do anything. Xanax is more of an anxiety pill.
But it's funny because I actually found that clip on YouTube because it's not available on A&E, for Christ's sakes.
No.
And in the comment section, it's hilarious. Again, the internet, everyone's got a comment, and someone said, Corey actually has a point. They have ruined his character. I believe his character is a vampire in the movie. His character, Sam Anderson, whatever his name was, would never be a vampire. He's a vampire hunter. And I was just like, dude, get a life. But I thought it was
I saw that did come out last week or something. So,
The Tribe. It's straight to video, man. Oh, my God.
This character's property of Warner's Home Video.
Do you believe that conversation really took place?
No.
Mm-mm.
They don't even show the guy he's
talking
to. No
way in hell. That sounded so scripted.
I think the whole show's fake. So anyway, let's go ahead and talk about a show that's real. Big Brother! It's a bunch of people living in a house. It's a social experiment. Allison Grodner has put together perfect strangers in a house. They don't know each other. They never once dated. That was rock. Bronson Pinchot's in the house.
Oh. You know what? That's a total Big Brother. 80s stars.
Oh man,
you know,
I want to see that.
Screw the that real life shit that they do on VH1.
And they gotta be in character.
Screw the small judo man.
That is brilliant.
They gotta stay in character from their 80s character.
So they get all these different
from Beepos.
They get all these different people in Big Brother, and hey, they did basically you could tell she's playing what their producers are doing is they're trying to fix what they broke, right? They're not doing any twists. Yeah. It's all strangers. People even as old as in their 70s, like Jerry. And they've got this other lady, Rennie. This weird-ass lady, Rennie.
Oh, my God, is she bizarre.
She's in her 50s.
She's like one of those women that you run away from when you see them in New Orleans.
Now, the first episode, which was last Sunday, it had her kind of, you know, it's night, the lights are off, everyone's sleeping, and she's kind of like wandering around. She can't see shit. She's an old bag or whatever. There's a part she turns the light on to see, and she's kind of squinting, and everyone's like, dude, what the? And she turns it back off, and then she's trying to get the door open, and she's like, oh my God, the door's locked. Just check this out. She cracks me up the way she talks, and this one dude, Jesse, the muscle-bound, muscle-head guy.
Oh, my God, is he freaking idiot.
He's getting so annoyed that this bitch won't shut up, and she's just so like, they locked us in! He's just like, you could tell if he had a pistol, he'd shoot her in the head, but just listen to her distinct laugh. That's what I think is genius. And then listen to Jesse's comment on her laugh, which actually had me in tears watching it because I laughed so hard.
Rennie, you coming to bed? Are you okay?
Mary, St. Joseph! Wait! It won't open! It's locked!
Y'all, it's locked.
No way. I swear to
you. It's locked!
Old girl, Rennie, she was in the other room.
Seriously, go take off my face.
She decided that she needs to yell, scream, hoop, and holler.
It's locked! Have mercy.
There was no off switch for her.
We'll lock the front door.
It's just the bedroom door.
There's no way they locked. That's a fire hazard.
They did. Steve, I swear.
And then he opens the door right up.
What the hell kind of
laugh is that?
Sorry, Steve.
After about 20 minutes of just listening to her, like, yell practically at the top of her lungs, I just straight woke up.
Dude, all I can hear is that jackal laugh.
Jackal laugh?
I knew that everybody was going to be loud the first night, but Rennie just took it to the extreme. Rennie is definitely pissing me off.
God.
Oh, really?
Like, I'm sleeping in, like, the other room. Like, all that noise. I thought you were, like, literally outside my door.
Lighten up.
Lighten up.
Which room?
Yeah. I was asleep, and, like,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I really am.
She's Petrosa.
I'm not saying you're not sorry. I'm just like...
You're not sorry.
That's why I'm up. I mean, I'm up.
I'm sorry.
How old are you? Like 140?
Come on, what?
Like,
that jackal laugh.
I was sound, like, I was asleep.
Come on, give me a break. Like, he's such a baby.
That's it. She sounds like Muttley. Do you remember Muttley on the cartoon?
Dick Dastardly and Muttley.
Now listen to her laugh. It's a weird double Muttley.
Wow, that is something else. That's like, I bet you dogs howl when they hear that.
But what is that? It's oh, Jesus, Mary Joseph. What is she saying?
Mary, St. Joseph.
Mary, St. Joseph.
Mary, St. Joseph.
What the hell is this bitch talking about?
Well, she's obviously a crazy Catholic.
And you know that guy wanted to say, bitch, shut up. I'm trying to sleep.
Mary, St. Joseph.
And say, enlighten up. I'm sleeping here.
And she's like, the door is locked and locked is in.
No, not locked. You're just a weak old woman.
She was pulling when it was a push door, I think. That was really funny, though, man.
Like, he's such a baby.
Okay, so Big Brother.
Wait till she goes.
The best thing about Big Brother is, you know, from the first episode to even the second or third episode, your perceptions of people will change. Like, Brian, who was voted off this week, was very douchey in the first episode.
Yes.
I thought he was more entertaining as it went on, but he was still too cocky and douchey.
You have to blame the editors, because I watched a lot of the feed whenever he was still around, and he was actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, he seemed like a lot of fun. The problem was when when they figure out that he, like, that girl Libra, she's like, does he think he's the new Dr. Will or something? Because the way he came in with kind of the swagger, and he goes, don't worry, sure, ladies, I'll take care of you. Don't worry, ladies. And then he leaves, and she goes, who the hell does he think he is? So anyway, basically, here's what you can expect on Big Brother. Everyone's stupid.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how many alliances there are. None of it matters. Every week they find a new person to demonize, and who's the worst person. The house will be peaceful once we get rid of them. They always say that shit. Exactly. The house will go back to being normal. It's like, okay. Yep. So, but anyway, it's the same old stuff, but it's entertaining, and they don't have any stupid twists. And
no, that's much better. I have to appreciate that. And they cast some attractive women, at least two of them this year. At least one of them's a complete idiot. And Jerry, the old guy, is a freaking perv. He's a weirdo.
I saw that where he was kissing, macking down on some girl, but he's trying to do like a grandfatherly kiss, but it lasted too long.
Yeah, and he's also really interested in the house guest's bowel movements.
Yeah, there was one girl who got all upset. Oh, the two blondes fought, Keisha and April. And he goes, no, you got to understand, she hadn't had a bowel movement in 8 days or something. That's all this is. She needs to take a good dump.
She's backed up.
Yeah. That's all it is.
She needs to drop it long.
She should have had a movement now, in 8 days.
The Asian girl has registered nothing. All I see her sitting outside smoking cigarettes. I've never seen her do anything else.
Yeah, I know. I think she's kind of pulling the Memphis fly under the radar thing.
Well, they were one of the girls, you never come to the bedroom and talk to us. You never hang out with us girls. She goes, I'm a smoker. You know where you'll find me. And seriously, why would you apply and be on this show and then just sit in the same place smoking cigarettes?
Why would you ever want to hang out with those dunderheads? You know, it's just, I mean, you got to stay. And she's smart because she's not being seen with any certain group. As long as you stay out of the alliances, you're not a threat.
Honestly, here's what she needs to do. Sit on the thing, smoke your cigarettes, but just wear a bikini. How's that?
She's not ugly. I'll tell you that. She's definitely not ugly.
Quickly, Bill, we're going to get to the news here in a second. But okay. Generation Kill, the 7-part miniseries, I believe, premiered on HBO this Sunday. I watched it. You watched it.
Yes.
Steven, you watched it?
Yes, I watched.
But it's basically about when they went into Iraq, right?
Yeah. It's based on a Rolling Stone writer's article and book, The Killer Elite. So it's pretty much taken verbatim from his article and book.
Right. It's basically the Marines preparing to go in and their different personalities. They're all, of course, filthy-minded, and they all insult each other, rank each other's mothers, and say racist things to each other.
Yes. But my favorite was Fruity Rudy.
Yeah. I like the guy Captain America. They call him Captain America because he's a total shithead. Like, we're all going to get killed. We're going to go in there. It's going to be armor against nothing. We're totally going to be screwed. And they're like, Captain America, because he's like a big whiner. But I like that whole camaraderie thing, or I don't even know if you call it camaraderie, but
brothers in arms.
The whole thing where they're in the mess hall and their certain unit wears the caps to look badass to the rest of the people. Like, we wear caps like this. That way everyone looks and they know we're badasses. And of course, when they get up and leave, the guy who they called the Godfather, because he has a voice like this, he goes, a bunch of cocky assholes.
Yeah.
But it's entertaining. I can't wait till we see some action happening.
Yeah, it looks good.
The sound is really good on the show, the 5.1.
Well done.
So check that out. Generation Kill. We'll talk about it next week, Bill. Okay, Bill, you ready to get into some news?
Yeah, let's do some news.
Let's do it.
Mary, Saint Joseph.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the news?
All right. Thank you, Motley. In Oakland, California, a man and woman were arrested Tuesday after a house fire led to the discovery of a marijuana growing operation in a well-scrubbed Oakland neighborhood not accustomed to such activity. Fire was reported around 8 a.m. and was out within half an hour. The cause of the fire was under investigation. Authorities found about 100 marijuana plants inside the home, and two people were arrested. One person suffered smoke inhalation but declined medical treatment. Gee, I wonder why.
Mary!
I'd decline medical treatment if I was toasted from smoke inhalation from marijuana plants, too.
I'm fine, dude.
I'd be like, this guy's showing you, this guy's a fag.
I just need some Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
I'm so wasted!
All right, a Texas man was arrested in Nebraska for his fourth DUI in less than 2 weeks.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Nebraska State Patrol said it arrested Robert Hood of Caldwell, Texas on Sunday morning. Troopers said he was speeding on a county road. After asking him to get out of his white Chevy Blazer, troops discovered he was intoxicated. But that was just the beginning. Records showed this was Hood's fourth DUI charge since the 4th of July. The summer months are traditionally a time when we see an increase in fatalities. We need to help all motorists in preventing the needless loss of life nowadays. Never drive impaired and always wear your seatbelt, said the Palate County, South Dakota, or wait, Nebraska officer.
Now, off and let me see.
That's exactly what I was getting at. I think it was Bubba. From the Carl Monday
report. About Ray, kill you.
That guy, what did he have, like 8 DUIs, but he'd still drive his car without a license or some shit?
Something like that. We got to check in on Carl Monday, see what he's up to.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't even have a clip.
We do. Yeah.
Any listeners in Cleveland, get us some information on
Steven,
what Carl Monday's up to.
When you're up there, you need to check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, Steven. You should go get an exclusive interview with Carl Monday.
I'll go chase him down.
All right. A 27-year-old Avondale, Arizona man has been arrested on suspicion of causing a massive power outage last summer that also included massive damage to the crab's weak point
for yes. Massive damage.
The outage knocked out power to nearly 4,000 homes for 19 hours when the high temperature reached 115 degrees. David Lemus was arrested in Avondale at a house on Locust Lane just east of Central Avenue. Police said they delayed announcing the arrest, allowing for additional investigation. They said they think the suspect acted alone. According to police, officers arrested the suspect on a tip from the public. He reportedly told investigators he cut down the pole because he enjoyed the sparks it made. Now, if this kid knew any better, he would listen to Roadblock and not get involved with electrical wires.
That is brilliant.
Because it's not cool to jump electrical wires on your bikes.
No, it isn't.
Body massage.
Yes, he will give you a body massage. suspected beer thief. Give him the stick. Don't give him the stick. Okay, suspected beer thief leaves liquid trail. Police have issued an arrest warrant for a South Charleston man accused of stealing beer. Officers responded to a car break-in July 8th. According to a complaint filed in Kanawha County, police say a man busted out the rear passenger side window of a vehicle and removed 11 cans of beer from a cooler in the trunk of the car. Wow. I wonder how he knew that was in the trunk. Or maybe he was just like, bonus!
Dude, what have I stumbled onto?
So the trail of beer that he left led to a residence on Lock Rake Drive, and police identified him and arrested him and charged him with destruction of property and petty larceny.
Like, he's such a baby.
This one comes directly from you, Jason.
Really?
In Denton, Texas, While a robbery at a pizza restaurant was in progress, a clerk discovered her father was the robber, and another clerk struck the man, knocking him out and knocking off his wig and sunglasses on Friday night in Denton. Now, the video of this thing is amazing.
It's hilarious.
This guy has the balls to come in, you know, start the robbery. He slaps the kid who he's, you know, I mean...
All he does is piss the kid off.
Yeah, you draw the ire of a person that you're trying to rob. Smart. So this kid tackles him and just starts pummeling him on this stainless steel table, and the table actually bends. He's beating this guy so hard. It was incredible. I didn't think the guy would wake up.
I love the knockout punch. It was hilarious.
When I first watched the video, I wondered why would the girl was pulling him off of the robber.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Like, you're going to kill that robber. It didn't make any sense. But then a couple of days later, you see in the news that it was her dad.
Yeah. The Denton Record Chronicle reported that Stephanie Martinez didn't know her parents and husband planned to rob the pizza patron where she works. Sure. She said the robbery surprised her as much as anyone else.
Wow. I know they really need to keep her in on the loop in that family.
Yeah, I know people might think I had something to do with it, but trust me, it was as shocking as it was for other people. She said she was afraid for her life and her coworker Rudy Sandoval's life.
The pizza patron.
Now this is Patrol. The best part of it is police said they have no plans to charge the girl. But her father was apprehended after the getaway. Martinez's husband told them she didn't know about the robbery, and she knew they were going to rob someplace, but thought it was going to be a convenience store.
Oh, huh. While I'm working, my parents are out robbing someplace.
Yeah,
that's great.
Nice,
it's good.
So
family.
They charged her husband with aggravated robbery. And now she's saying she never really had a relationship with her father. He's never been around. So she's distancing herself from him.
What an amazing coincidence. He was robbing the pizza place and had no idea she was working there, I bet.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys are.
And now it looks like her mother and father are going to be deported. So
I guess she won't be seeing them anymore.
Yeah, I guess she really won't know her father. There was a story. I know this has been talked about on the internet quite a bit, but there's a guy that was out for a day with his children and wife in the UK, and he was taking pictures of his kids at this park, enjoying like their time on a slide and stuff. And this woman and other parents came up to him and said that they didn't want him taking pictures because he's a pervert, and that they want him to delete the pictures and everything. I mean, the paranoia is ridiculous nowadays that, you know, this guy can't even take pictures of his own children without other people coming up to him and saying, don't take pictures of my children. You're a pervert.
Uneasy situation.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is kind of a really big story that's going on over in the UK right now, is the whole idea of this parental paranoia. Next story is in Appleton, I believe Wisconsin, a rat planted in a meal at an upscale restaurant was determined to be a white rat, the kind used in laboratory experiments, not the wild variety. A woman accused of planting the rat was charged Monday. one count each of extortion, obstructing an officer, and disorderly conduct.
Hey, it's possible that a lab rat escaped and got in the restaurant.
Oh, totally. What restaurant doesn't keep lab rats? The defendant may have some physical or mental issues and has no warrant history, but allegations are rather disturbing, said the court commissioner. Miller wanted the restaurant to pay $500,000 or she would alert the media that she found a rat in her lunch. Owners of the restaurant kept the rat, turned it over to the insurance company, and they sent it for testing and determined not only was it a white rat, but it had been cooked in a microwave.
Well, holy shit.
Yeah, and restaurants don't use microwaves.
I thought you were going to say it contained the rage virus.
No, yes.
Wait a second. A lot of the ones that... Ramsay finds do use microwaves.
No, those are convection ovens.
Oh.
I think.
No, remember they found that one, they had eight microwaves.
I thought you were talking about Hell's Kitchen. Never mind. Yeah.
Are you talking about the F word?
No, he's
talking about kitchen nightmares.
Oh, okay.
Yep. He's saying kitchen restaurants don't have microwaves. So it's like, there was one that had like eight microwaves. And all.
Eight?
Yeah, they had eight microwaves.
That's how they warmed everything up after they cooked it.
Everything was like frozen dinners.
Pre-cooked.
My favorite thing is when he goes, "You're not a chef, you're a joke." And they're like, "No, that's not true." You know, they're just,
"I'm really good at putting time on a microwave.
I can do that at home. I must be a chef."
A Covington man is in jail after police say he terrorized a young mother with some very strange behavior. Authorities say that at 2 a.m. on Saturday, 25-year-old Jason Allen Crow crashed his car into a fence on North Polk Street in Covington. He then kicked in the door to a nearby house, went inside, started pulling down curtains and destroying things. Whoa. He ran through the house, ransacking the house. When he got to the occupant of the house, a young lady with a year-old baby laying in bed, he ran up and pulled the covers off and started growling at her. Neighbors who heard the 23-year-old woman scream for help were able to drag the suspect out of the residence and hold him until the police officer patrolling the nearby area arrived and arrested him. He was Muttley. West says alcohol may have been a factor in Crow's actions.
Alcohol?
Oh, I'm sorry. Captain Jack West says that alcohol may have been a factor.
Can it just be alcohol? It had to be more stuff than that.
Yeah, I think it was a little crystal meth, too.
I just have to say, everybody, I'm seeing a lot of tablecloths around here.
He told us he thought someone was after him. He admitted to drinking, but his behavior was a little more bizarre than alcohol could account for.
What did he have against the drapes?
I guess, you know, that they looked like tablecloths. I don't know.
Huh.
All right. This last story I have to read because I love it. In Augusta, Maine, a Maine State police officer say a Kentucky motorist had an excuse when she was stopped because she was watching a TV show while driving on the interstate.
Spokesman.
Okay, this is a chick. What show is she watching?
Desperate Housewives.
Close. Spokesman Steve McCallisland, nice name, says the motorist told a trooper that she was tired and was watching the Gilmore Girls on her laptop. Stay away.
This is upsetting to me.
Last time I checked, the Gilmore Girls actually put you to sleep.
She's the demographic, though, driving women.
She just loves her Gilmore Girls, keeps her awake and snappy.
That's dangerous, that Gilmore Girls.
That is. All right, and that's news.
Give me a break.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing a quick news. Let's do DVDs!
Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! DVDs, HD, Blu-ray, standard definition! DVDs!
Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs!
Mary, very St. Joseph!
Steven, what's your favorite cake?
Meat.
Meat cake?
No, cheese. Your
not
favorite
mine.
Cheese is cake.
Favorite cake is cheese.
I was doing a George brilliant. Carlin bit.
Yes, I know. All right, DVDs for July 22nd, 2008.
Giant
4 days from our recording, and normally we release the show on the Tuesday, right?
Tuesdays, yeah, if the forum isn't friggin' down again.
Yeah, that's true. What a shit forum.
The forum goes down exactly when I'm posting the show, and it's happened 3 weeks in a row. What the hell?
We should seriously try to get Andy to switch to, like, Envision Plus free forums or something. They have, like, a 99.9 uptime.
What about a GotVMail forum?
Well, they could always paint the polar bears brown.
How about this? Last month, Congress gave protected status to the polar bears, but not to the grizzlies or black bears. What if we created a line of
goddamn bears
for these bears so they can look like polar bears and be safe from the hunters? That is brilliant. Blacks and grizzlies are going, come looking to find you. Easy to do when Got V Mail lets your phone ring.
I don't understand that segment right there.
That is the best segue I have ever
going
heard.
To come look at you.
It's the
Got
V
Mail.
It's the most confusing segue I've ever heard.
Gary Busey, I swear to God, the guy is a genius. Seriously, I think that the motorcycle accident made him, like, what do they call that?
An idiot savant?
Yeah. How can someone think about one thing and then completely go to another that quickly?
Maybe you had a seizure.
They could have had a seizure while he was talking about the brown bears.
All right, Bill, DVD videos are coming out this week?
All right, first DVD, 21, with Kevin Spacey, Kate Bosworth, Larry Fishburne, and Jim Sturgis, based on the excellent book Bringing Down the House, made into an incredibly mediocre movie.
With Queen Latifah.
It doesn't have Queen Latifah in it, does it?
Bringing Down the House with Steve Martin?
You ass.
Jeez.
Come on.
I had to. Come on.
What was the movie she did with all the other black ladies that they were robbers or some shit?
Yeah, we all saw that one.
Shut up, Steve.
St. Joseph!
All right. Moving on.
God, what was it called? Shit!
Didn't they all die at the end?
I know she was a lesbian in it.
Well, she's a lesbian in real life.
Wait a second, but I thought she was an actress.
No, she's a lesbian actress. And she loves dipitosity.
I'm sorry.
Set It Off. Radio Dan in the chat room says it was called.
Set It Off. Hey, Dan, what's up?
All right, moving on. The Batman, the complete fifth season.
For massive damage.
Yes, massive damage. I never, I saw like the first two seasons of this, but I couldn't really get into it very much.
What was it again? I didn't hear it.
Batman animated series.
Oh, The Batman. It's got kind of crazy animation.
Yeah,
kind of Japanese influence animation, kind of.
Okay, so it's lazy. They write it and then ship it off to Korea.
No, it's got a lot of style. It's got a lot of style, Bill.
It's quirky.
Is it consulted by Tim Gunn?
Yes.
All right.
This town needs an enema.
Oof. That was the other thing about Big Brother, is the guy that Jerry kept trying to get that constipated girl an enema.
He goes, what you need is a suppository. And I was like,
he's like, I'll take you to the diary room so you can get an enema.
He's like, this guy would give you an amputation if you hurt something, because that's the way it was back in the day.
Oh, I stubbed my toe. Well, let's cut it off.
We got to amputate it.
We need leeches here.
Yeah, leeches. I just got a cold, Jerry.
Cold. He probably, thank God there was no Asians in the house this year. Oh no, there is an Asian in the house.
Is he gonna?
He might like flash back to Korea and stab Angie.
He's got a bayonet. Where did he get the bayonet?
It's a gook.
Oh my God.
Giant enemy crab.
Huh? That's what they called him. It's very derogatory.
Yes. All right, next DVD is Bird, the Clint Eastwood directed movie about Charlie Parker. With Forrest Lazy Eye Whitaker.
I can't watch it.
Why?
It just seems boring.
You've never seen it?
I'm bringing too much baggage with me.
Oh, okay. You're going to let the movie come to you.
No, I can't. I've just already judged it.
All right. Next DVD, Comedy Central's TV Funhouse, the Robert Smigel written show.
Crazy shit.
I mean, I loved it because they had the different days for each show.
It was
West
crazy.
Day, Y Day, Christmas Day, Mexicans Day was hilarious.
They did some funny segments on that. It's just funny.
Oh, they
crazy.
Really did. I loved that all the puppet animals would go to a restaurant that it was like you are what you eat, and they would all eat what they are.
Well, they would do like also these...
be eating duck, the dog would be eating dog.
They would do these educational type things like Sesame Street, where like, yeah. Man walks to work, and it's doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Man holds up liquor store, and he has a gun, and... Man tries to assassinate the mayor, and it shows him with a sniper rifle. It's like, what the hell? But it's just crazy shit, man.
The DVD has commentaries from Robert Smigel, the producer Dino Stamatopoulos, I guess he's Greek, and host Doug Dale, and also a video commentary with the animals, Chicky, Jason, Zabu, and Dave. So
nice.
That ought to be funny. I'm definitely going to pick that up this
week.
Yeah,
that's a definite.
It's enough to make you sick just thinking about it.
All right. High and Low, the Criterion Collection. I own the original release of this. This is the Akira Kurosawa film that they...
What a hack.
He's a total hack. he adapted Ed McBain's detective novel Ransom, which was also, you know, made... years later, was it Ron Howard?
Yeah, Richie and the guy in Mad Max.
Mel Gibson. By the way,
that's his name.
But I'm really looking forward to this because they've restored it and everything. But
my son. Oh, sorry, I just.
I'm not gonna buy it because they're gonna be doing Blu-ray soon, Criterion. And there's really no reason to be buying standard def DVDs anymore.
Also, you could rent it on PS3 for $20.
You could buy it for $20.
But only in standard definition. Yeah. HD, it's you can rent it.
Yeah, you can rent it.
Oh, man, it's incredible.
Next DVD is The Last Winter. This is the film, the sci-fi film with Ron Perlman and... Connie Britton and Zach Guilford, the two from Friday Night Lights.
Okay, what is it about?
It says, in the pristine tundra of northern Alaska, winter is brutal, but for one small team of oil scouts, season is about to turn deadly. An unseen evil stalks the isolated crew. Nature's violent fury adds to their fear and torment. Horrifying visions in the snow close in, and they soon discover that not everything buried under the ice is resting in peace. So it kind of sounds more of like a psychological The Thing, I guess.
Oh, I got you. It sounds kind of scary.
I watch it only because I really enjoy the people that are in Friday Night Lights.
Me too. I'll check it out. And Connie Britton gets naked in it.
Oh, shit, I would buy it then. If it was true, but no.
This is upsetting.
Talk about
to me.
MILF. Next DVD is something I detest, but I'll mention because maybe our fans like it.
Oh, Bill's getting political.
Yeah, Robot Chicken, Star Wars. So there you go. Robot Chicken just, you know what, at first I thought it was funny, and then it just got to be too much. Like, hey, look how, relative we are with these great pop culture references. We're so funny.
Well, who did it first, Robot Chicken or Family Guy, Steven, the Star Wars thing?
It was Robot Chicken, Family Guy did the Blue Harvest thing.
Right, right.
Which was even worse, because then it was like, hey, we're true Star Wars nerds. We even knew what the movie was called when no one else did. You know, just like, shove it up your ass.
Right.
That's... Even Family Guy got me on that one. I was like, dude, I just don't care.
It's like,
you're trying way too hard.
It's kind of the same thing with the Harry Knowles thing. It's like... you're doing too much, kind of. You were kind of ruining it to the point where we don't even want to have anything to do with it.
And I find there's bits of Family Guy. I know what you. I know you guys don't like it. And
who ever told you that?
And I see what you guys mean. Really, honestly.
Hey, don't let me in with Bill, man.
There's bits of it that just like go. Okay, way too
hard. Like, could you guys be a little creative here? And so obvious.
But then again, there are. Funny bits at
Steven, you're no longer allowed on the show. Off your mic. Thank
no,
you.
Steven, no.
There are funny bits on there.
Right. I know what you're talking about. I think right, what I was doing is kind of a tongue-in-cheek kind of...
Are you two done?
More extreme kind of a thing, you know.
Continue, Bill. Sorry.
Yeah, next DVD is the DVD of the week, the most important release this year so far. A show we all love, Spaced, the complete series...
Yes, Spaced with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, directed by Edgar Wright.
written by Jessica Stevenson, Nay Hines.
Yes.
And Simon Pegg.
You know what? Okay, actresses, when they get married, they're supposed to keep their maiden names. What was she thinking?
She was thinking, I'm British, I love my husband, and I want to honor him.
Oh.
Did she hyphenate her last name? Or
no, she changed it to Jessica Hines.
Okay.
But it's confused me, you know?
Skip to
it
the
is.
End.
It is confusing.
All these references, like skip to the
skip
end.
Skip to the end.
You will get after you watch this. It's awesome. You'll love space. It's incredible. You will fall in love with it. Buy it Tuesday. You will watch it all by Wednesday. It's 14 episodes of gold. And we can all get references together and love each other in harmony. Yes. Just like Elizabeth Hasselbeck once.
Yes. Season one has commentary with the entire cast: Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, Jessica Hines, Julia Deakin, who played the landlord Marcia, Mark Heap, who was Brian, the artist who lives in the basement, Nick Frost, who was what was his name?
Mike.
Shit. Mike.
Mike LaWatt,
the friend of Simon Pegg's Tim Bisley, who is a gun nut. Nick Frost, Mike, that is. Producer Neera Park, plus bonus commentary with guests Kevin Smith, Diablo Cody, Matt Stone, Patton Oswalt, outtakes, the homage-o-meter, original cast and crew biographies and trailers. It sounds like they pretty much kept what the original release was in Britain, but added a couple little things of well-known people here.
It's the kind of thing where you also get jealous of it, too, when you see these people hanging out with them now. And I can understand why they're doing it. It's cool because they want, like, oh, you mean like Kevin Smith's in there or whatever? Yeah. I got to check this out, because if you're a fan of Kevin Smith. Because Kevin Smith wants you to watch it. So it's okay, but it's still, I get a little jealous.
But again, you have that thing going on.
I'm not on.
What is it? Next week in Austin, where Ain't It Cool News is having a spaced numathon.
Yeah.
Where they're showing all the episodes with Simon Pegg, Jessica Hines, and Edgar Wright are going to be there. And again, that's like one of those things that I would love to go to. Can't. But also, it's just it annoys me that it involves Ain't It Cool News.
And it annoys me that it's happening and I can't go, and I'm even close to Austin.
Yeah, and it's something that, you know, I hate when people do this, but I mean, it's honest for us, is we've loved this show. I've loved it for a long time, and then I introduced it to you.
You sent it to me, and I was like, Spaced, what is this, a sci-fi show or something?
And then I had the disc forever.
And then I had to show you some. And it literally is. You just sit down and you watch it. It's a good show. I'm not saying it's – I'm telling you, you just connect with it and the people in it. It's a good show. Just check it out. Just believe us and watch it, okay? Yeah. Don't be like, okay, Whelmy show. They've blown it up into this great thing.
Stop it. All right. Season two also has commentary, but they add Katie Carmichael, who plays Twist.
Twist.
Yeah, Twist. Jessica Hines is
Just say
Daisy.
Jessica Stevenson. I can't handle it. Just say Jessica Stevenson.
And the second season has commentary with Quentin Tarantino, Bill Hader, Patton Oswalt, and Matt Stone. So
Mary, St. Joseph!
I know. Listen to all those big names sitting in with that.
Bonus disc has Skip to the End feature-length documentary, which I believe is on the British one. Isn't that the one they end with where they go to the old house and then...
Hey, spoiler alert. People are going to be buying it now.
I'm sorry. Exclusive footage of Spaced on Stage 2007 reunion Q&A with Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright. Spaced Jam music video, deleted scenes, raw footage, new cast and crew biography.
You had me at Spaced box set.
I just want to let people know what they're getting. But yeah, I'm very, very excited.
Awesome. Can't wait.
And last but certainly not least, something I had to mention, Yancey Butler's 2000 series, Witchblade.
Wow. What a piece of crap
Yancey
that was.
Yancey Butler, who really made a career for herself after the skydiving movie with Wesley Snipes.
Hey, she was also in Hard Target with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, yes, she was.
What was your agent.
Is Radio Dan still in the chat room? What was that skydiving movie she did with Wesley Snipes? shit. I just remember thinking she was really scary looking, even when she was supposed to be attractive.
I think it was called Parachute 51.
I want to say Terminal Velocity, but that was the
Charlie Sheen movie.
Terminal Velocity with the stupid jet car. Just because they ride in a jet car
you know
in the
what?
Commercial
they
this
got
week.
That from, they got that jet car in the Crystal Skull from Terminal Velocity.
They did. Like, remember that Charlie Sheen movie? That really worked for that and sold that picture. We need to put it in
put
this.
It in art. Yeah.
But, you know, let's not do it practical like them. Let's just do it CGI.
And let's have gophers CGI. Look at it.
Hey, if you would have CGI with shaky cam, I think it would work every time.
Okay, I'm looking on... Okay,
oh
hard drop zone.
Drop zone.
Drop zone.
Always bet on black. Oh wait,
John
Passenger
Batum.
Oh man, that guy rocks. John.
Jerry Busey was in that too.
John Badham.
So was Corin Nemec. Oh my god, I'm gonna have to rent this
wait,
again.
Wait, do you mean Corin Corky Nemec?
No, I mean. No. He had it. Radio Dan had it. Drop Zone. Dude, you're awesome.
No, Corin Corky Nemec.
No,
you ever
Corin, what's his name?
I know. Parker that's Lewis. What I'm saying. Parker Lewis can't lose. If you watch the original show, in the credits it said Corin Corky parentheses Nemec.
He was actually, serious?
He was saying, hey, call me Corky in the credit
no
of the show.
Way.
Corin Corky Nemec.
My name's Corin, but you can call me Corky.
Yeah, what the hell is that shit? It's in my contract. It's got to be on the show. I think even in The Stand it said that. The Stand, he was Corin Corky Nemec.
Was he a Scientologist then, too?
Yeah, he's a painter. Oh, wait, that's what Clueless Movie Guy was talking about. Black Canadian Clueless Guy was talking about Corin Corky Nemec.
Oh, my God, Drop Zone. I remember
brain.
Seeing
yeah,
that
I
in
got
theater.
Nothing. I seriously got nothing.
But yeah, Yancey Butler's awesome series, Witchblade.
Awesome. It's based on a comic book. And,
yeah, based
a budget,
on a comic book.
Budget about $500, apparently.
Oh, my
Didn't
God.
Didn't Yancey Butler get into legal troubles or something? Or get
She's
arrested?
Like a whore now.
Nice.
Literally, I think she's
$20 honestly, and you can have her.
She got arrested for, like, coke or something, and she's all coked out.
Get out of here. Not Witchblade.
Yeah, I guess the blade, you know, it can take its toll, just like the One Ring.
Attack its weak point for massive damage.
Yes, exactly. All right, Bill.
Oh, my God.
What? What's going on?
People in the chat room, go to Wikipedia and look up Yancey Butler. Oh, my God. The picture is frightening.
That is brilliant.
Oh, this poor woman. What happened? It's like, you know what? She looks like the Joker after it was spilled acid on him. Oh, my God.
All right.
I'm putting the link in the chat room. Holy moly.
Mary and St. Joseph.
I swear to God, Mary and St. Joseph. Oh, my God.
All right, Bill, let's get back on track here.
That's it. That's DVDs for this week. I'm traumatized.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the DVDs.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
All right, everybody, that was episode 130 of Nowhere in Mulberry Live. Thank you for listening to the show. If you'd like to go to nowhereinmulberry.com, you can find links to Mulberry Old School, which is our archive of old shows. You could also find links to our forum, which is down every Tuesday. You can't get on there.
Good old PHPBBeer.
Yeah, hopefully it's not like that anymore. I don't know what the deal is, but maybe they're updating the servers or something every Tuesday. I don't know. But much like Izzy, Brian, Jason, Mazur, and Ross, they donated to the show. You donate this week, and we're going to start giving away things. For instance, I'm going to come up with some NIM t-shirts, Mulberry t-shirts. You donate, you get a shirt, and maybe you made out of some cheap-ass third-world material. But still, hey, you get something, right? Right. So if
at
you
least
also,
they're made by children in third world countries.
Yes. If you'd like to call, leave a voicemail at 206-202-3491. Also leave an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. We got quite a few emails this week, and they were all nice stuff. Keep up the good work, that kind of thing, and we love you for doing that. It makes us feel loved. And when we feel loved, we feel like doing the show and talking about The Watchmen for an hour on the show. So
yes.
You won't be sad you missed that. No, you will.
Ridge Racer!
Yes, exactly. Ridge Racer. We're covering Ridge Racer next week, Steven.
Awesome.
It came out in 2006, but we want to go back and just talk about the game. What do you think, Bill?
Absolutely. I want to talk about Genji, too, also.
Oh, yeah. You know that it's based on real Japanese battles where they fought giant enemy crabs.
And they hit weak points for massive damage.
Giant enemy crab.
Yes, exactly.
Attack its weak point for massive damage.
The guy's so mechanical. He's like a robot.
Where's a giant crab's weak point?
He's on his tummy. You got to flip him over.
Oh. Yeah.
So thank you, everyone, for listening. And let's all send letters of concern and support to Yancey Butler. Apparently she's hit the wall hard.
Hard ain't the word, man. She crashed into that like a freight train.
Oh my god.
She's dead. Woo! Have mercy.
Yeah.
Poor
it's
poor
gonna
Yancey.
Haunt my dreams for the rest of my life.
She was, and we want to congratulate Rick for their child.
Yes, Rick. Yes. This show is dedicated to your new child. I'm going to You probably named it Jason or Steven or PCZ, whatever, yeah. You know, pop culture zealot.
Maybe Vanessa if it's a girl.
Hey, it could be a girl. Jacina, you never know. I'm kidding.
I got to give props, mad props, you know, to Radio Dan in the chat room for his quick, you know, answers on those movie names. Check them out on talkradiox.com.
That's right. Drop Zone and Set It Off.
Eraser mechs in quotations. Looks like a poltergeist. Yancey Butler.
I'm going to have to look at this after the show, but have a good one, everybody. Laters.
You guys are a bunch of slackers.
Hey, we are not.
That is brilliant.